We're back live with more of the Spiegel and Holmes football kickoff broadcast. Live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers, and Blue Cross Blue Shield through it all.
We are live here in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. We are brought to you by PNC Bank and your local Ford dealers. We have a great crowd here with us as the Spiegel and Holmes show rolls on. We are going to talk with Dave Wannstedt at 5 o'clock. He is going to be here. I am the Cowboys documentary.
Yeah, man, you're all about it.
If you guys have not seen it on Netflix, America's Team, the gambler and his Cowboys, it's so well done.
See, this is a surprise because Cowboys-Eagles is the game tonight. Jerry Jones has been in the news for a long time. And with the Micah Parsons stuff and everything. But I assumed this was going to be like a hagiography where he's in charge of the thing and he's making it really good television in terms of how he comes off. Because Netflix does that sometimes.
It's really good television, but Jimmy is saying everything that he wants to say. And the clips going back to our guy, Bob Costas, talking, interviewing those two guys back when things fell. And I just got to the part that Dave told us about last week or 2 weeks ago, explaining the toast situation where they were at the owners' meetings and Jerry walked in after drinking a little bit and that's a big part of all of this. And he walks into the room and he sees all the Cowboys coaches and he raises a glass to them. And then Dave and all of the Norv and all the other guys raise a glass and Jimmy doesn't. And then all the reporters were getting ready to leave. And it was Ed Werder and a couple of other guys. And Jerry, like, grabs Ed and be like, don't leave yet. And it's like, why? There's nothing else. He's like, yeah, because you're about to get the biggest story in the world. I'm getting ready to fire that disloyal mofo.
Wow.
And so, like, that's where, like, the episode, and I was like, let's go! So it's really well done. It's a lot of different perspectives. So Michael Irvin is an incredible storyteller.
Back to Jimmy and Jerry, because this is really interesting. Because this played out last year and the year
with the Ring of Honor.
With the Ring of Honor, that Jimmy wasn't going to come back.
So look, Spiegs, that's the great thing about this. They go all the way back. They take you to, like, pictures of the two of them
at Arkansas.
Them being roommates and like the evolution of their careers together. And it basically, from what I've seen so far, because I'm not done with it, but I'm four episodes deep in it. What it comes down to is Jimmy is offended by the idea that Jerry thinks he knows more football.
Of course.
Oh, and there's all sorts of Chicago stuff in it. Like, there's, like, little nuggets of things that happen where you're like, oh, I forgot about the superfans being on the field before the Bears-Cowboys playoff game. I forgot how good Ditka was. He has such a great line.
Super fans. So George Went and Robert Smigel. Was Farley there too? No.
Yes.
It was Farley?
Yes. It was 91, I want to say. But Ditka has a great line because they did the interview. They showed the interview with Costas and Jimmy and Jerry. And they both basically kind of were like, we're going to play nice in front of the audience that we're in front of. And they go back to the desk and Ditka's like, hey, if I didn't know those guys, I'd tell you that one of them's lying. But since I know both of those guys, I'm here to tell you they're both lying. It was great. Wow. So there's all sorts of, like, little things about, like, the Bears or Chicago that kind of pop in. Like, if you're attuned to it, you'll hear it and see it.
Uh-huh.
But it's just fascinating, and it's really well done. And it's not what you might think Jerry would allow.
Yeah, I don't think he cares. It's not like Aaron Rodgers doing an Enigma thing just to show how interesting he is.
And they interview Charles Haley a lot.
So we got to touch on this when we talk to Wani in an hour.
Yes.
Wannstedt will be here.
And Troy.
And Troy Aikman will be here, at least on the phone. Will Troy Aikman be with Dave Wannstedt?
Troy telling the story of how he doesn't remember the 94 NFC Championship game.
Man.
Like, he doesn't remember it. And then they're like, you played great in it. He's like, really? that he had to go watch film.
That's crazy.
Of it the next day because he was concussed.
Well, I haven't watched that yet on Netflix. I did watch Unknown Number, the high school catfish documentary on Netflix.
Wait, what?
Anybody watch that? No? It's horrifying. Absolutely. Seriously, one of the worst people I have ever heard about in the history of the world. It ends up being the star of that documentary. I don't want to give it away. Yeah. Unknown number. It's about this high school catfishing story. It's in, I think it's, where is it? Wisconsin. I think it is. Or Michigan, suburban Michigan. Yeah. A young girl and her boyfriend are getting harassed via text. Trust me. I know football's back. Nobody's going to watch it now. You've missed your window, right? The dog days of baseball in August before the NFL Island games come and invade your life is like prime random Netflix documentary season. Now it gets a little tough.
Yeah, you got to get your documentary started in week zero of college football. Like, that's how you got to do it.
I think so.
You space it out.
Or when the White Sox get eliminated. So that's like April.
Wow, I wasn't expecting a White Sox crackback today.
I'm sorry. I didn't even
They're
mean to.
They're going for a sweep, for God's sakes.
I know. I was thinking about the baseball season.
People are so excited about Colson Montgomery.
They are. They are. Lenin Sosa and Andrew Benintendi. How about you? You're excited?
They're not excited about Lenin Sosa nor Andrew Benintendi.
Come on, man.
They are excited about Colson Montgomery.
How about Kyle Teal? Those who don't know,
you've
Lawrence
been trying to sell that Kyle Teal ticket for a long time,
and I'll still do it. Lawrence is culturally a White Sox fan. Like, you know, I'm mostly culturally Jewish. You're culturally a White Sox fan.
It's the truth. Yeah. I'd love to see them
spiritually a White Sox fan.
Yeah, I would absolutely say spiritually a White Sox fan. That's why all the stuff hurts. And for some reason, you're not allowed to say that it hurts and everything's supposed to be great. And I'm just supposed to believe everything about the White Sox and what it is that they're doing.
Nobody's saying that, but I look forward.
A lot of people are saying that.
I look forward to you when you're the host of Hit and Run next year. I look forward to your thoughts.
Yeah, I got some thoughts.
I know you
definitely
do.
Have some baseball thoughts, but we have football thoughts. We're sorry. We got sidetracked a little bit.
It happens.
Were you aware that Ben Johnson is okay with maybe raising some expectations on the win-loss side?
I think this kind of got glossed over yesterday because it's fascinating. I actually gave this some thought before we were reunited on Tuesday. And then I decided, no, let's not do it then. Let's do it like next Monday. But it's kind of underpinning the whole thing. Like, how are we going to gauge this year? You know, I've been a part of this show in this slot for a long time. And there was a year there where we decided to just, you know, count moral victories. We literally mapped it out.
The Justin years.
Yeah, the Justin year. Like, okay, if Justin makes progress and we believe in the coaching staff and some of Ryan Pohl's talent acquisitions all look good, if two out of those three are a yes, we'll call that a moral victory. Regardless.
Or if Justin has a great game, then it doesn't matter what the other... Because there were like a couple of those where you were like, look,
Justin
ran for 160 yards and threw two touchdowns. So we're going to just wipe away the other criteria.
Right. So certain seasons, it makes sense to like think about it as, all right, we're going to chart moral victories. I don't know that this season makes sense for that, but or does it? That's kind of an open conversation.
Well, here's what Ben had to say about Caleb's development and kind of where that leads them.
He's so young, you know, and there's a lot he's learning, but he's a sponge right now. I mean, he was up in my office a couple of days ago and we watched a couple games together, and he's just, I mean, the entire time, anything I would say, I see him jotting it down in his notebook. And so that's an encouraging thing right now with where we're at. We're going to grow together. This offense is going to grow together with him. And, you know, there'll be some bumpy steps along the way, but that's okay. That's the nature of doing it. But I feel really good about where he's at right now, and there's no reason why we can't win this year.
No reason why we can't win this year. So, yeah, like I'm cool with redefining expectations and thinking about moral victories, but I don't believe this is a year to do that. You're Ben freaking Johnson, and I know it's year one, but hell, we've seen Matt Nagy win in this town in year one with Mitch Trubisky. We see it happen in the NFL all the time. We see it with a rookie CJ Stroud, you know, and then he follows it up.
Jaden Daniels.
Remember him? Daniels. I do.
Perhaps
I do.
The best quarterback in the NFC.
And so
perhaps.
But so you invested like crazy in the offensive line and the defensive line. I know the quarterback is relearning stuff, but you're smart enough, Ben, to simplify things and run the hell out of the ball and try to make your quarterback's life easier. I'm not going to be counting moral victories. I'm with Ben Johnson, and he just said it right there that this is about winning. Not to say I'm going to be disappointed if they go 9-8 and miss the playoffs or 10-7 and miss the playoffs.
I mean, if that's where they're at, I think everyone's really happy. I think the danger in that, and I want him to go in thinking that his team is capable of winning. The danger in it is there are still things that have to happen. And everyone that you've talked to over the last month, when we start talking about where Caleb is at, has kind of told us all the same thing. And you know that I feel similarly. November, Thanksgiving.
Olin just threw it in conversation. Mm-hmm. You heard Olin say, I'll judge about midseason.
And that's where I'm at on this. And
but that doesn't mean they can't win along the way.
It doesn't, but I think that the most important part is still that guy. And if he's not quite where you need him to be yet, it's hard to ask him to go and win.
Yeah, no, look, it's true. But when you say that and we're saying like what we need him to be, we need him to be, you know, good on the basics. Right? Mm-hmm. Like the very basics. A great conversation the other morning with Dan Wiederer in our morning show, Mully and Haw, about, you know, Wiederer was talking about when he watched tape of Brady one time, I think when he was in Minnesota, when Wiederer was covering the Vikings, and he watched a Brady tape, and he realized that in the 38 completions or whatever he was seeing, that Brady threw the ball about 6 to 8 air yards.
Yes.
Like each time.
This is
what we need. If Caleb can wrap his head around that, check down, check down, check down, hit somebody in stride, move the ball, check down, check down. And then every once in a while, but he might have games where he never does the every once in a while. And that's okay, because they can win this way.
I don't need him to just check it down, okay? But that's why I keep bringing up Jared Goff. Like, that's why. Because when you're watching him, you're watching a guy that's playing on time, that's getting the ball out and allowing his guys to make moves. If it's a shallow cross and you give Luther Burden a shallow cross that you're hoping you get 5 yards, but you end up getting 13 because he's good run after the catch. Same thing with DJ Moore.
Yep.
I don't want to just say, listen, go into this thing and don't make any mistakes and just check it down. I want him to play on time. And what did DJ Moore say? It's a race. It's a race to see who gets open first. And be in his progression and get open and get the ball to that person.
Did he say that yesterday in that cut that Grody played?
Yeah.
Because last year he said it's a race to 1,000 yards, didn't he?
Well, is that him? I think DJ Moore's perspective on things has been changed for him up there. I think that they really like him, but they want more from him. And so far, what we're hearing is a guy that has gotten the message, I think.
Oh, man, I'm laughing because you said something off the air that made me laugh so hard. And, you know, I want to set you up to say it on the air, but I want to be a good partner. And I got to make sure, because I've done that in the past, where I set somebody up. So I don't want to make you say it. But now I'm talking about it. And I think by now, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm hoping at some point you jump in and you say, I'll say it on the air. Is that going to happen right now or not going to? Lawrence is taking a sip of his tea. So I'm out here on an island just talking to myself.
It was
everybody.
Something about white people, wasn't it, speaking?
It's more about those space Nazis.
That's right. He was ranting. No, we were celebrating the fact that Matt Forte is coming on Tuesdays.
Fine, I'll say it.
Okay, good. So Matt Forte is coming on Tuesdays. Very exciting. And you're like, right, Tuesdays at 3:00, we get Matt Forte. And this year we need more offense, right?
Yes. But we couldn't get Jay because Jay was in jail.
That's why we can't get him. And I tried to tell Lawrence, that's not a shot at Jay. That's just facts.
It's not. We didn't even reach out to Jay.
We couldn't reach
him. That's why it's not. No,
he's busy.
We could. I literally have his phone number.
But I don't think he can answer right now in the pokey.
He was only in the pokey for 4 days, which was probably only 2 days.
Oh.
That he was there. And the biggest charge against him was dropped. So,
oh man, well,
the weapons charge.
Yeah,
that's because he had two loaded weapons in the car.
Yeah, that ain't right.
And
but then, I just
and I think that Jay's biggest mistake was actually a mistake that he made on the field a lot, which is where he didn't understand that the defense knew what was coming, and he didn't offer the best thing. He offered the guy $2,000 to not say anything.
Oh yeah,
had he offered him $10,000,
maybe.
I think the guy walks away. I think he's like, $10,000? Let's go.
Yeah, $2,000.
$2,000?
That's insulting.
A little light.
What, D'Angelo Williams? Not D'Angelo. D'Angelo Hall.
It's him going after D'Angelo Hall. Yeah. Again and again and again.
The cop's like, I know he's going to throw the cash to me.
Yep, he's going to do this thing. And that is still one of the most amazing games I've ever covered. We're like, will he do it again?
And he did.
That guy had more receptions and more yards and more touchdowns in that game than a Bears receiver did.
Man.
Four picks. He just kept, and this is from stuff that I had heard from people that practiced with Jay. This is stuff that would happen in practice too, where he would get something in his head. Someone would say something like, I got to challenge that guy and go after him. And in some cases, it was great. In this case, it was not.
I always think of something that Mark Trestman said about him, that Jay, sometimes when he's outside of the pocket, he loses himself for a moment. And I'm like, ooh, there was some honesty right there.
Well, if you were drawing up a quarterback, yeah, it would look like Jay Cutler.
I really would.
Right? Like, yeah. it would be 6'3". It would be 225 pounds. It would have rocket for an arm. Mm-hmm. Incredible mobility.
Cigarette hanging off the bottom lip.
That's if you're a really good artist, then you're drawing up a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm drawing one anyway, I go ahead and I put that smoke there.
I just like that Rex Grossman is like out of hiding. Like he's out here doing these cruises now.
Oh, that's right. He's
like
part
Rex
of the cruise
left
company.
And then we like never saw him again. And then this summer he popped back up.
Seriously, I'm psyched to have Forte on the show.
Me too.
I love that. I know that's a good relationship for you. And you guys were really good together on the TV show on NBC Sports Chicago.
RIP.
And but you know, Forte talking offense and run game and outlets and checkdowns.
And the league. Like that's the thing where he's still close enough to it where he's got guys that he played with or against that are still in the league. Like some of them just hanging on, but like Grady Jarrett, for example, like that's a guy that was in the league when Matt was still playing. So he's got a lot of knowledge and I feel like he's an untapped resource. And even when we were doing the football after show, I'm like, man, we can get more out of Matt Forte. So the fact that he's going to be with us every Tuesday is going to be outstanding. Matt Spiegel holds in his hands right now is the list for categories.
Three lists, folks. Let's go to our list.
So here's the deal. Ordinarily, he forces the three of us to play this stupid game. And what we decided as a show is that we were not playing today. Uh-huh. And since we have a live studio audience here in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio, y'all are going to play.
Greg, Peter, and Ashley. Is it Ashley or Leslie? I always get confused.
I do too.
Yeah. So Greg, Peter, and Ashley are our categories contestants next.
Yeah, man. We about to have some fun. I'm going to heckle the hell out of y'all next in this score.
Thank you, Leslie.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on the score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is categories. We do it every Thursday on the show, and today we got a special treat for you. Da 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 da. Because ordinarily it is the Spiegel and Holmes show that plays categories. But we decided that we weren't doing that bleep this week. Speaks put together three categories, two sports-related, one not sports-related.
Correct.
And we decided that we are here on Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio, brought to you by PNC Bank and your local Ford dealers. We would take three random people out of the crowd and play categories with them. Would you like to explain how this is going to work?
So categories, you just did with the two sports, one non-sport, and you, contestants, who have been chosen with the highly scientific method from Alex Kuhn, where he asked if anybody wanted to play categories. And you three have decided you're playing. Greg?
Ashley kind of didn't. Like, she's not excited about this.
Oh, troubles. Where's Greg? There's Greg. Where's Peter? Hi, Peter. Where's that? Oh, hi, Ashley. So those are our three contestants. Good luck, everybody. Name somebody in these categories and you stay alive. There's one microphone. We'll pass it along from one to the other. You in the audience and you listening can play along. You ready to go? It's just that easy. I have in front of me a list of all the starting quarterbacks in week one of this NFL season? All 32 starting quarterbacks. Peter, you go first. Give me a starting quarterback.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. Let me see. That is correct. Greg, what do you got?
J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy. That's who they're playing against. Very nice. I see what you did there. Ashley.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love is indeed correct. Peter.
Jared Goff.
Look at them staying in the division.
Look at that. Let's go.
Now it gets funky. Greg.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy is a starting quarterback in the NFL. Ashley.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
This is the best game of categories it's ever been played.
Next category is going to get ugly. All right, what else? Back to the beginning.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback.
Football. I like that.
In the NFL, that's correct. Next.
Lamar Jackson.
Yes, also in the NFL.
MVP. Yeah, he's
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. That's right. Just no S on the end, but we'll give it to you. Thank you. Peter.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is correct for the New York Giants. Not Jackson Dart. Not yet, anyway. Greg.
Spencer Rattler.
He is starting for the New Orleans Saints.
The New Orleans Saints are starting Spencer Rattler. Ashley.
Karen Rodgers.
Wow. You and Steve Sharippa are tight.
I'm looking forward to that podcast.
He's kind of an ass, right? Isn't he an ass? Yeah, he is, Steve. Peter, what do you got?
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield is correct. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well played, everybody. Greg.
Michael Penix Jr. Glad you put that X on.
Thank you very much. Buy you some Penix and Cracker Jack. Ashley.
Justin Fields?
Justin Fields is...
Yes, he's starting against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he really is for the Jets. You guys are doing great. Greg, Peter,
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud is correct for the Texans. Greg.
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young is correct for the Panthers.
This is outstanding.
Outstanding. Ashley.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Close enough.
Tua, not going to work here.
we will take it. Tua is correct. Peter.
This is where it gets rough.
It really does.
Did we do Justin Herbert yet?
We did not do Justin Herbert of the Chargers.
Kick save and a beaut.
Very nice.
Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm taller than him.
Did we do Jalen Hurts?
We did not do Jalen Hurts, and he's playing tonight.
Tonight,
tremendous.
Baby.
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott
he also, is
also playing,
playing
tonight.
Tonight. Well played.
Yes.
What do we do if we get to the end of a category?
We go to backups.
Okay.
No, I don't know what we do.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix is correct.
Get a haircut and a football game.
I think the world implodes upon itself if we get to the end. Ashley.
I don't know, but Geno Smith.
Geno Smith for the Raiders is a starting quarterback
Let's
in the NFL.
Go!
Impressive. It's the deepest we've ever gone on anything, including a topic and thoughts and spirituality and anything.
How dare you?
Peter.
Drake May.
Drake May is correct.
Way to find it, Peter.
For the New England Patriots. Amazing. Greg. I know.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Greg is out.
Greg is out. Ashley, you got another one?
I don't know if he's starting. Shadur Sanders.
Shadur Sanders is not starting.
So Peter.
Peter, for the win.
For the win.
You got another, probably.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is correct for the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Peter, impressive. All of you, impressive. The only ones that didn't get mentioned, Daniel Jones for the Colts, Trevor Lawrence of the Jaguars, Cam Ward, the rookie for the Titans, Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, and Jaden Daniels did not get mentioned.
You guys did great.
That was amazing.
That was outstanding work.
Now hell comes to breakfast. I hold in front of me the 50 greatest Minnesota Vikings of all time, as named by the team in their 50th season. That's 2021, so no players since 2021. I need great Minnesota Vikings, the 50 greatest Vikings of all time, starting in 2021 and going back through the whole history of the franchise. Greg, you're up.
Fran Tarkenton.
Is, of course, on the list of the 50 greatest Vikings.
Adrian Peterson
is, of course, on the list.
Rich Gannon.
Rich. That's amazing. No, we do not have a Rich Gannon, unfortunately. Down to two.
John Randall.
John Randall. Damn right John Randall's on this list. Chasing a chicken around
Carter.
In a Brett Favre jersey. What's that?
Carter.
Which Carter?
Chris.
Chris Carter is absolutely correct.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
That's it.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Damn right. Randy Moss is on this list. Impressive.
Well played.
Troubles. Ba-da-da-ba-ba-da. Maybe not.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Culpepper.
Dante Culpepper?
Yes.
That is correct.
Way to go.
That is amazing.
Saving a beaut.
You bet.
Did anybody say Chris Carter?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Chris Ashley Carter. Did.
Yeah. Only seven names have been named. One of them was Chris Carter.
Jared Allen.
Jared Allen is correct. Defensive end Jared Allen. Ashley, what do you got?
I'm going to take like Tanny and be out.
Go watch a Sopranos episode.
Is Alan Page on the list?
Yeah, of course Alan Page is on the list. We need one more from Greg, though, if he wants to
sorry.
If he's got one. You got
no,
one?
No, no. No, Peter.
Peter, no, yeah. Peter, no, it's Peter's Greg. Out.
So, and we don't need one because Ashley punted.
Okay, all right, cool. So anyway, there's a lot. Chuck Foreman, Bud Grant, Steve Hutchinson. We could just hang around naming Vikings. Yeah, Joey Browner. I'll tell you what, you don't stop naming Vikings. Mick Tinglehoff. I just needed to say that out loud. And there we go. All right, so one category for Greg, one category for Peter. Here's your third and final category on categories. Lawrence, how are the contestants doing? Pretty damn good.
They're doing amazing, better than we are. So
today we celebrate the NFL, celebrate the Bears and the Vikings, and we celebrate 670 The Score. I hold in my hand a list of all full-time and part-time current employees at 670 The Score. Ashley,
so hold on, wait.
Yeah.
Is this employees or is this people on air hosting shows?
This is not salespeople. Okay. Who I've never met anyway.
Okay.
No,
I just want to make sure.
No, these are names you have heard on the air.
Okay.
People, producers, hosts, video people. There's a couple others in there, but that should get you a pretty damn good start. Ashley, what do you got?
Matt Spiegel.
That's correct.
He does still work here.
I do, for now.
Lawrence Holmes.
That is correct.
Mully?
Mike Mulligan is indeed a full-time employee.
That's going to be a drop, Greg, just so you know.
David Haw.
David Haw is correct.
Grody.
Mark Grody is correct.
Bears.
Oh, boy. Did it?
I don't think I just moved here a few months ago. So
I understand.
There, so.
I understand. Would you like to name some more Vikings?
Don't like the Vikings.
Just, you know, Jake Reed does not work here. Okay.
Let's see.
Joey Browner doesn't work here.
In five.
Are we counting, four. Are we counting guests or are we just counting people?
No.
No.
Three. Okay. Two, one.
And one. Ashley.
Layla Rahimi.
Yes, Layla Rahimi. Peter.
David Haw.
Yeah, was so already named.
Been guessed.
We'll give you another shot, though.
In five, four.
Roots.
Ashley. What's that?
Roland Kruger.
Not a full-time employee. We only pay him $15 an hour, because that's what...
For the win.
Marshall Harris.
Marshall Harris. That is correct. Everybody wins a category. And of course, the winners, as always,
is the listener.
That sure is. Dustin Rhodes, Brandon Fryer. You know these names. Ray Diaz, Robbie Tran. Chris Tannehill, for God's sakes. Tanny's the president.
I was going to them next.
Alex Kuhn.
Alex Kuhn. It's right here.
Ryan Poore.
Excellent job, everyone. Thank you for playing categories. The listeners killed it. Give it up for Greg and Peter and Ashley.
Crushed.
That was tremendous.
Congratulations, man. That went way better than I was expecting it to go.
You were worried.
I'm always worried.
You are.
But that was really solid stuff there by the listeners.
The other winners, of course, are you and Alex and Tanny for not having to play.
Yeah,
congrats.
We're very happy.
Congrats.
About that.
How did it go? I've been talking with Coach this whole time. How did it go? Everything go good?
Everything went good. Yeah, thanks for your concern. We appreciate it. The music was at a great level, Tanny. Thank you so much.
It was pretty awesome. Hey, there's a baseball thing that we should discuss. Are you okay with that?
Oh, what do you think? What do you think, sir?
Something happened last night that changed my perspective on some postseason stuff.
Let's discuss.
And we need to talk about that. So we will do that next here on The Score.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. He is the best pitcher in the major leagues right now.
Is he rookie of the year?
He's got my vote. And I know there's going to be some definitely other candidates that we got to look at, and there's Bulk, and we got to talk about how many innings has he truly pitched.
Drake
is he Baldwin, here all year?
Mike Collins.
I understand.
Sure.
But what he's doing is absolutely remarkable. When I say that he is one of the best pitchers in all Major League Baseball, I'm not exaggerating. We can look at the numbers. We just showed it to you. But if you look at the ERA leaders from the All-Star break on,
I mean, this is unbelievable.
He's the man.
That was on Marquee's post-game show, Carlos Pena, with the analysis there on Cade Horton, who for the season has a 2.78 ERA. since the All-Star break.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's got a .77 ERA.
Yeah, they put up the graphic last night during the game of the best second halves, I think, in what, the last 40 years or whatever it was? Jake Arrieta at .75.
Yes, when Jake Arrieta had half a season where he became Bob Gibson.
He was Bob Gibson for half a season. That is right. He went a lot deeper into games, as was the more of the norm at the time. And so there's that, but also like Jack Flaherty was in there, mm-hmm. like his arrival season with the Cardinals, and I think 18, when you're like, oh yeah, that's right, all the Harvard Westlake kids are great. Oh yeah, that's right. And then who was the other one? Is there, was it Steve Carlton maybe who was in there? Like just some absurd second halves. And that's what Cade Horton is doing. I mean,
and he did it last night. He's five innings of no pitch ball, no hit ball. And Craig Counsell made the choice last night to take him out of the game. And I get it. This is the most that he's pitched in a long time. So you're trying to figure out how you're going to get him to the finish line. This is, and you know, this has been part of my strategy for the last couple of weeks. How do you lose the battle and win the war? This is the type of thing of like, you want one of your best pitchers and maybe your best pitcher to be healthy enough to give you some quality innings if you're in a playoff situation.
Without a doubt. And, you know, 75 pitches last night, previous starts, 70, 74, 61, 82, 67, 71, 84, 86. He threw 94 pitches all the way back on the 9th of July against the Red Sox. But this is a guy that they're not going to push. It's, look, there is no guarantee that this protects him from injury. There's just none. And that's a broader question about all of MLB writ large, and it drives me crazy, drives a lot of other people crazy. There's just no
Craig
guarantee.
Craig gave voice to it last night. He said, like, we don't know if this is going to work because no one knows.
Nobody knows.
No one knows when an arm is going to explode or when it's going to hit a dead period or how you ramp someone up. Like, the old school dudes would be like, guys need to throw more, and they need to throw more innings. But we're living in a space where every pitch is the most velo. Every slider is the hardest slider that you're throwing. Every curveball is the biggest hook that you're throwing. And because of that, because you're doing maximum effort, the idea of having guys throw more also could lead to injury.
Of course, each time it can happen. And then some people figure out you got to take a little bit off the gas. I mean, Tyler Glass now gets hurt over and over and over because he never takes a foot off the gas.
DeGrom?
So, look, but that's the broader issue. The closer issue is this. Cade Horton is a dude, man. He is a dude. And I was so excited about the arrival. And Tommy Ottavi talked about it the other day with Mullin Haw from that first appearance against the Mets. Remember, he struck out Juan Soto. He went after Juan Soto late in that game. It wasn't a start, but he picked it up in the second inning and was just, and he threw a changeup. I think it was like pitch number 57 was his first and only changeup of that game. And now he throws the changeup a lot. He's got two different fastballs now. Like he has figured some stuff out, and he's as good as anybody in that rotation when it comes to thinking about playoff starters, that's for sure. You texted last night into the group.
I was thinking about it, and as we're watching this play out and you look at what's happened, I texted the group chat, like, is he your game two starter? And then I got one-upped, not by you, because you were like, yeah, that actually kind of makes sense.
Sure, split up the lefties.
Although we were thinking differently on who game one starter was.
Right. I think Matthew Boyd has shown you an ability to shut down anybody for long stretches, but he's been a little bumpy of late.
And I was thinking Shota is game one, and then Cade Horton is game two. Cliff Floyd, during the broadcast last night, was like, wait, is he the game one starter? And I was like, oh, I had never thought, well, he is the most dominant pitcher right now. How big a pair would Craig have to have to be like, hey, game one against the Padres, go get them, kid.
I haven't checked the Padres splits yet. We're a little ways away. Could be the Padres, could be the Dodgers, could be the Mets. It is not going to be the Reds.
No.
That thing is toast.
Yep. But I blame Ryan Porth for that.
For so many things, you know? It's really nice to have Ryan Porth around to blame for so many things, including the Reds' demise. But nah, Cade Horton, your game one starter. I'll say this. I don't think you can end a series without pitching him. You know what I mean?
So I agree.
He's got to be one or two. I think he's two. I think if Boyd is healthy and has a couple good starts down the stretch here in September, you give Matthew Boyd the ball. That is an adult. That is a grown-ass man.
So is Shota, though. Like, yes, I know that it's not major league experience, but he's been pitching for a long time.
Yeah, and he pitched in the World Baseball Classic, too.
Yeah, and I believe he's got six straight quality starts. I think that's right on Shota.
Yeah, he gave up three early the other night, but then shut it down the rest of the way. I think you're right.
So I don't know. There's no wrong answer. Like, there's no – because the seasons that Boyd and Shota have had have both been good.
This is why I went back to – I haven't checked out the Padres splits. If it's the Padres, you know you've got, you know, lefties like Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill and Luis Arraez, but you've got righties like Machado and Fernando Tatis, and now Ramon Laureano, who's killing it for them.
Basically just a really good lineup.
Check that.
Yeah.
Good lineup, some good pitching, too. So,
but there isn't anyone that you're going to face that doesn't. Like, once there are no Rockies here.
Right.
Like, there are no White Sox here. This is the real deal.
I think you try to make Machado and Tatis face a righty three times in one of those first two games. I bet Cade Horton does get a start in games one or two if we get there and things are like what they are.
Do you think anyone, with the way that he's pitching now and understanding that you're probably not going to extend him because you're worried about the health of his arm, do you think anyone would have a problem with Cade Horton pitching game one?
I mean, look, if he's rolling the way that he is right now, no, I don't think so. God, I just flashed back to when Dane Dunning got a start and got pulled in the first inning, you know, early on in a series. And
yeah.
It just can, you know, it can't be something, but Council's not going to do that.
Shota, this is six quality starts, six and a third. One earned, six and two-thirds, three earned, seven innings, one earned, seven innings, two earned, seven innings, three earned, six and three earnings. So that's six quality starts in a row for Showtime.
God, I hope, you know, we'll get to see, like, I mean, history is littered with managers being deferential to veterans for the right, you know, reasons and sometimes for the wrong reasons. You know, there's a million different examples running through my head right now of managers doing that. And Craig has done some of that in terms of playing time against some of the young guys, but I think Cade gets a start.
I think he does too.
In the first couple.
I hope that he continues to pitch as well as he's pitched and that he gets that chance, cuz he has been filthy. He was filthy last night. Mm-hmm. And I understand any Cubs fan is like, "Wait a minute. What are you doing? This game is winnable. Maybe you could have gotten one more inning out of him. Things don't go as badly as they went at the end of that game."
You know what we talked, Tanny? You know what we talked in this segment, right? We didn't talk. We talked a lot of Cubs, but Nico Hoerner knows what we talked in this segment.
Really speaks.
Yep.
Yeah, it's probably unfair to Tanny.
What, to just set him up like that?
Yeah, because we need to break. Too,
I know.
Because Wani's here.
I'm just saying we didn't talk any Bears.
No Bears.
That's what I'm saying. I know Tanny had it. I know he's ready. He doesn't like when I use him like a jukebox, though.
No,
he really
you
doesn't.
Shouldn't do that.
I'm going to get the cold shoulder. He's going to the tank the rest of the
show. Well, you're
going to
get the warm handshake, though, from Dave Wanstead. He's going to walk into this studio. We are going to talk with him, and we are going to talk with Troy Aikman. Update 520, we're going to talk with Troy Aikman. Dave Wanstead saunters into the studio next here on The Score.